But, you know, I guess another issue around all of this stuff is, why don't New Zealanders tend to know about this stuff in relation to their own country? You know, why aren't we as concerned about those wars as we are concerned about wars in other parts of the world, Vietnam and Bosnia and all that stuff that's happening in Afghanistan at the moment? We tend to be really worried and concerned. And, you know, one New Zealand soldier died the other day. And look at all the palaver that happened about that. But we don't even discuss all those horrible things that happened in our own history, in our own backyard. Yeah.
Like, if Māori were actually able to get their sovereignty back, what would you expect, like, to change?
Who knows? All Māori people are saying at the moment is, let's have a discussion, government, about how we might reform the constitution of New Zealand to create a new style of government that might better reflect what the Treaty of Waitangi actually envisaged. And until you have that discussion, you don't really know what could come out of it. I think as New Zealanders, we tend to be pretty conservative about sovereignty stuff anyway, don't we? You know, in fact, in government departments in New Zealand, sovereignty is sort of a dirty word. It's the S word, they call it. And the Waitangi Tribunal doesn't even use that word in its reports today, because it knows that if it starts to talk about sovereignty, the government won't even read the report, much less do anything about the recommendations in that report. So it uses other euphemisms for sovereignty, and the current one is tribal autonomy, is the other words that they're using at the moment, which tends to confuse the politicians a bit, but it's the words that they're using. So, you know, until you have that talk, how do you know? I suspect that if that talk was actually allowed to happen in an open and constructive way, Māori people could quite conceivably say, well, actually, we quite like New Zealand the way it is. Let's just leave it as it is. But until you have that discussion, how do you know? You know? But there is certainly a spectrum of views amongst Māori people about what could come out of all this stuff. And certainly there's a pretty extreme view at one end of the spectrum that says, let's kick all the Pākehās out of New Zealand and run New Zealand by Māori for Māori. But at the other end of the spectrum, there's a view that says, no, let's run New Zealand together for the benefit of all New Zealanders, Māori and Pākehā together. And between those two extremes, there's a whole lot of different models that have been proposed by different people. One model, for example, is the model that's been proposed by Whata Whiniata, the ex-president of the Māori Party, ex-professor of law at Victoria University, who said we should model a new constitutional arrangement in New Zealand in the same way that they run the Anglican Church in New Zealand, which is basically run on a three-house model. Two lower houses, the Tikanga Pākehā House, the Tikanga Māori House, and then an upper house, which has got a 50-50 representation of people from the two lower houses. And apparently all the rules in the church have to go through those houses to become ratified. And he says, if you can run a church like that, why couldn't you run a country like that? And who knows, you probably could. But, you know, I'm not sure how that would go down with lots of New Zealanders, but, you know, I think he's probably right. We tend to be a bit limited, in my opinion, by our imagination around some of these issues. But if we have that discussion openly and transparently, who knows what could happen. Some of you might be aware that there's already a constitutional review happening in New Zealand at the moment. It's part of the coalition agreement between the National Party and the Māori Party. But it's pretty submerged under a whole lot of other things that are going on at the moment. Yeah, question?
Do you think, personally, that Māori are put into two groups of radicals and conservatives?
Oh, that tends to be how the media constructs the view of Māori people, isn't it? You know, and it's mostly the radicals that get focused on, isn't it? And occasionally those radicals get into Parliament even. And they're vilified in Parliament as well. But I think you're right. That large chunk of people in the middle who've also got views tend not to be focused on too much. But that's the nature of the media. They don't do that just for Māori people. I think they do it for lots of other groups of people as well too. Mm.
Can I just check something?
Yeah.
Some of the land, I think was taken, but not actually confiscated, wasn't it? There was from
police
in
perpetuity,
wasn't
there?
Also,
yeah, there was. Well,
wasn't it?
No, that's different again. Okay. The land you're talking about is land that's now administered by the PKW, Paranenhiki Waitotara Land Incorporation. So what happened was, in the compensation court was supposed to create reserve land for the rebels. Well, they didn't do it. By 1881, there was a commission of inquiry into what had happened, the Fox Bell Commission, and in 1881 they reported they created 200,000 acres of Māori of land for the rebels. The problem was, between 1866, when the court was created, and 1881, lots of people had died on those lists that were generated. No provision had ever been made for how their children would succeed to these interests. It was a big mess. So they merged the titles, they said, and said all the Māoris will now be beneficiaries of the 200,000 acres. But then they said, well, that's a lot of land for Māoris. What do Māoris know about land? It wouldn't be fair to let them actually use it. So they legislated for Māori people to lease that land out to Pākehā farmers. And so that was legislated, and then they said, well, that implies that those Pākehā farmers have got to pay those Māori people some rent for the use of that land. What do Māori people know about money? Nothing. And who would we give it to anyway? So they created a new thing called the Native Trustee, who picked up that rent on behalf of the Māori people. He was a Pākehā man here in Wellington. And so the Māori people weren't allowed to live on their land, and they weren't allowed to pick up the rent that the Pākehā farmers were paying to them. And the Native Trustee effectively became the beneficial owner of that land. I mean, it's a terrible racist story, but the worst thing about that story is it stayed like that until 1976. And in 1976, the government said, well, maybe that's not fair. Maybe we should allow those Māori owners to start picking up that rent. The other thing that had happened was that between 1881, when that was all started, and 1976, the rent was never adjusted for inflation. So those Pākehā farmers in 1976 were paying 1881 rentals for that land. And then they said one of the other things that the Pākehā farmers were allowed to do was they were allowed to on-lease it to a third party at current market value. And apparently it created a new term in New Zealand accounting called super profit, which only applies to Māori reserve land. So the Māoris weren't allowed to live on their land, they weren't allowed to pick up the rent, but in 1976, Māori were allowed to form the PKW to start picking up the rent. And they employed a lawyer at that point to protest about it and to challenge the reserve land legislation. And some of you might remember when those farmers in Taranaki drove their tractors up the steps in Parliament. That was their protest about their land rights, they said, being tampered with. There was never any suggestion that Māori land rights had been tampered with. But it's a terrible, terrible story. It's ongoing, actually, because there was a new legislation in 1998 that has that land, or what's left of it, because the Native Trustee actually sold half of it without asking any Māori people by 1900. In 1998, the legislation has 62 years for those leases to terminate so that the Māori owners can get their land back. And within that 62 years, the Pākehā farmers get one right of renewal. So they can renew those leases one further time through to the end of the 62 years if they want to. And that's the way it is today. Yeah. The Waitara lands is a slightly different issue, but related. Those lands were the property of the New Plymouth Harbour Board. And when that was disestablished, that land was given to the New Plymouth District Council. Rather than the Māori owners that was originally taken from. Yeah.